Hey everyone, this is a very different Christmas Eve, but we're trying to keep some things the same. We've had a Christmas Eve service since we started New Hope, and this is by far the most unusual one, but I would like to say that I am wearing my Christmas tie. My kids gave this to me many years ago, and one of the traditions is I will always wear a tie on Christmas Eve. I'm so glad you're joining us. My guess is many of you are in your home. You may be watching this on TV with your family, and I hope that you will tune in with us for this short time. Christmas may be different this year, but in many ways, it may regain some of the meaning that can be lost when we take things for granted. So let me pray, and then we're going to dig in for a few minutes of just looking at what Christmas really is about. Let's pray. God, you are good to us, and there are times when we recognize that more than others. And this particular year, where there's been so much change and difficulty and struggle and questions and worries, help us to remember that you really are the one that can offer us hope. You love us, you care about us, and Christmas proves that beyond any question. So we, on this Christmas Eve, we give you our attention now. Please help us to remember who you are, and as a result of that, who we can be. In Christ's name, amen. I want to tell you a little bit about some lost things, because if we understand lostness, we can really understand Christmas. So let me give you a few things here. One is, when I think of lost things, I think of this. I have kept this sock in my drawer, hoping to find its mate. It's been lost now, I'm guessing, for over a year. I'm still hoping that I'll find it. Odds are it's not going to happen. I found this the other day, a winter glove. Would love to have the one for the left hand. I guess I can just wear the one on my right hand and keep my left hand in my pocket, but for some reason, I lose gloves. I never lose both of them. I lose one of them. This year, I've also lost a lot of these. I have finally decided that I'm going to keep masks in every pocket, each of my cars, on my desk. These things, they disappear. It's crazy. Here's another thing I lose a lot. Charging blocks. Boy, the cord doesn't help you a bit if you can't plug it into a source of electricity. So those are ones that are kind of negative. I want to show you a positive picture of lostness, and that is this. I have got a bag here of golf balls. I've got this. I've also got a bunch of them in my car. I get made fun of a lot because I find a lot of lost golf balls. People hit them. Apparently, I'm not that great a golfer because I'm over there looking where other people have hit their balls they've lost. But I love finding golf balls. I might be playing terribly, but if I can find a good golf ball, especially some of these $3, $4, and $5 golf balls, I feel like my day has been made. You know, there's just a lot of things that get lost. There's a story that was in the news this week about a rare violin that was stolen or lost in 1962. It was a Stradivarius, and they've not found it. In fact, the FBI just reopened the case to try to find what happened to this. Where is it? The people that owned it are gone. They've died. But they're not making these Stradivarius anymore. They're made in the 1700s. These are the primo violins. And it's been lost. And there has been a constant ongoing search to find it, even to the point where the FBI is involved. The point of this is that you can tell the value of something by the effort that goes into trying to find it. You can tell how important something is to somebody by how much it stays on their mind, how many resources they spend to try to find it. And this really is the story of Christmas. It's the story of something lost that is precious and valuable, and the expense that went to try to find it. The Bible tells us the story of our lostness. And lost is, it just means that you and I were created by God, are unique in all of the creation, to have a relationship with him. He wanted it to be a personal, close friendship and relationship with him. And when he created us, he gave us the capacity to choose to follow him or not, to love him or not. And the Bible tells us that every person on planet Earth, whatever age, has decided they want life on their own terms. They don't automatically line up to follow God. And therefore, there's a result of that, and that means that we're lost. We're trying to find our own way, and we stray away from God. The Bible uses image after image of this, about our lostness. And that this going our own way, this sin, it creates a big problem for us. It creates this huge chasm between us and God. And our lostness is real. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You lived in this world without God and without hope. I can live without God. That's a choice I can make. Anybody can. But I can't live apart from God and have the hope I was designed to live in. It doesn't mean that everybody that doesn't follow God feels hopeless. We can put our hope in all kinds of things, but ultimately, if it's not in God, we're going to find ourselves disappointed. And we're going to find that our hope was put in a terrible place because it couldn't sustain the weight of our lives. And so we're in a predicament. God created us to thrive in a relationship with him. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants us to be close to him, but he wouldn't force it. And because of our choices, we've become lost. We've wandered away. And that is what sets the stage for you and I understanding Christmas. The song that we've used to where we got the title for our series, O Holy Night. In fact, we're going to sing it after this message. I want to read to you the first verse of this song and listen to it. It says, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. And what it's saying here is that in our living apart from God, trying to make life work the way we want it to on our own terms, that we consistently run into brick walls. We find that it doesn't work. And so our sin leads us into error. And the pining means that we're just longing for something more and we haven't found it. And we keep searching and searching and searching. But nothing fulfills us the way God intended. It goes, so long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. There's something about Jesus and connecting with him, understanding him, and relating to him helps us understand what we were really created for. What is our true value and meaning? It says then, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. When we finally get to a point of recognizing that trying to make life work on our own terms hasn't worked, when we're honest about the fact that there's an emptiness inside of us that I've had friends say before, it's just like I have a hole in my gut that nothing will fill. When we recognize that, and then we understand who Jesus is, there's a rejoicing that happens. There's a being filled inside that happens that changes everything. God wants you and I to experience this freedom, this joy, this love, this hope that is only found in him. And that's what Christmas is really, really about. Jesus said this. He was explaining why he came. This is after he was in public teaching right before he was killed. He said, for the Son of Man, which is a term he used for himself. And let me just explain this. Jesus came as a baby so that he could identify with you and me. He could have easily done it a number of ways because Christ has existed in all eternity, but he came in human form to identify with you and me. And so this term Son of Man was one he used. He identifies with us that close. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus came on a search and rescue mission. He felt like you and I were so valuable, not because we had earned it. It's just because of his heart, because of his character. We're so valuable that he could not let us go without searching and hunting for us and giving us a chance to choose him. When you read through the Bible and you understand that this is the backdrop of all of it, it's amazing that night thousands of years ago when this baby was born to this young teen couple, that it was God coming to earth to save you and me. Because we deserved it? Of course not. Because he loves us and because he really wants a relationship with us. If you and I don't get that, Christmas will not mean anything. It'll just become a quaint story or a fairy tale. It just becomes about a little baby in a manger and just kind of a cute image. But it loses its meaning when we forget that that baby was just a vehicle for Christ to come as a warrior on our behalf. Colossians 1 says this, "For he has rescued us," for those of us that have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, "for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness," which is where we live when we're not putting our hope and our trust in Christ, "the kingdom of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." The greatest gift that was ever given, and the gifts we give at Christmas are just a shadow of this. I think gift giving is wonderful, but it's merely a shadow of the greatest gift ever, and that is that God sent his Son for you and me so that we could have our sins forgiven fully. It still stuns me. I don't understand why. I guess when we get to heaven, we can ask God, why did you feel like we were that valuable? Because when we're honest about it, we're not. We're broken. We're always trying to figure out how to get our own way. We're very self-centered, but yet God loves us and he's pursued us. We were lost and he wanted us to be found if we would just respond to him. This Christmas, as we remember Jesus' birth, please, please take time and remember Easter, his death and his resurrection. Without Easter, Christmas loses its meaning. Easter tells us the rest of the story. God came to seek and to save what was lost and what was precious and valuable to him. And he spared no expense. The greatest rescue mission of all time was him sending his Son to rescue you and me. This Christmas, I hope you will take some time and think about this individually, together. Maybe before you open presents or before you Zoom call family members, take some time and pray and thank God for what he's done. And if you're not sensing it inside, if there's not that sense like the song says, rejoicing, maybe ask him, say, God, what is it? What maybe am I missing here? Is there something about your love for me? And maybe I've not recognized just how dangerous my lostness was. It may be that you've not even accepted Christ yet, that you're just exploring faith. And so what I'd like to do is just invite you this Christmas to reach out to the God that has been searching for you. He sent his Son to come to rescue you and me. He understands, and he's not the least bit put off the fact that we're sinful and selfish and oriented toward our own desires. He gets that. He knows the addictions that we have. He knows the faults that we've had, the ways we've covered up. He knows everything about us. And yet, he wants a relationship with us. And it begins by saying, God, I'm here. Would you please take me as I am? Why don't you join me and let's pray together. God, this Christmas, we're reminded just how fragile our lives are, how fragile our economies are, how fragile our health is. There are a lot of things that we can take for granted. And this year, for many of us, we've seen those things really cut back seriously. There's some that are watching tonight that are struggling with health, their own or their families. Some are struggling financially. Others have been dealing with some addictive behavior, some habits that have just been wiping them out. Some are angry, some are fearful. We all have our weaknesses, God. We all have those things in us that, if we're not careful, they can dominate us. And yet you understand everything about us, even the things we can't put words to, and you love us. You see value in us. And you came to rescue us, to find us, and to bring us out of our lostness into foundness. So God, for anyone tonight that is watching that has not made a commitment to follow you, I pray that they would just right this minute accept your invitation. You've come to seek and to save the lost. And I pray that you would help them to pray something like this. God, I'm surprised that you love me and that you came for me. But I am going to accept that and that you sent Jesus to come on a rescue mission to rescue me. And so right now I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. She would help me to turn my life and to live towards you. And that you would accept me as I am to become your child. And I'm asking for your help to help me to live in a way that has you at the very center of my life. And God, I'll do my best to live a life of gratitude and thanks to you. And I'm trusting you right now. I am putting my hope in you. And God, for those of us that already know you, help us to renew our commitment this Christmas, to trust you and to follow you, to live lives of gratitude, and to choose to follow you in a way that others would see in us the kind of things you do in a life surrendered to you. Help us to reach out with love and hope to our friends and family, our neighbors, co-workers, classmates. Help us to live in a way that they would see how much you have come for them too. This Christmas, we say thank you. We are grateful that you came on a rescue mission for those who were lost. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And forever, we'll be grateful. Amen. Let's all join together. We're going to now sing the song that really inspired this series, O Holy Night.